Okay, so we're on Daf Yud Zayin today. Let me begin a few lines from the bottom. I'll go over from yesterday's Gemara. So I'll begin four lines from the bottom on Tet Zayin, Rabbeis 16b, page 32, four lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Amar Yudamar Basi, Ovei Kochavim Shkidish. So Rabbi Yehuda has a halacha in the name of Ravasi. He says that if a non-Jew does kiddushin during this time, we have to be choshesh, the non-Jew is a descendant from the 10 northern tribes. So again, the 10 northern tribes were Jews that were exiled in the time of Shalmaneser. And Rashi learns, let's see the Rashi on this, 8 lines, 6 lines on the bottom in Rashi, they search Shvatahu, Shirasu of Dot Kochavim. He says that they had married non-Jewish women. So there's not a different shitot. We're not normally used to these shitot. I think Rabbi Leibowitz was saying the same thing, that if a non-Jew, if a Jewish man has relations with a non-Jewish woman, so this Gemara learns that the offspring is Jewish, but the offspring is a mamzer. That's the way the Gemara is learning. So the Gemara says that we have to be choshesh, that if the person we think is non-Jewish is Mekadosh Nisha, that he's maybe from the Aser Shvatim. So the Gemara says, how can you say that? Baha called the parish Meruba parish, but anybody who is separated from a large group of people, you assume he comes from the majority. So Aser Shvatim is not the majority of the world. So Baduch to the Kvi means in a place where they were Kabua, where they were located, the Aser Shvatim, and it was their natural place. The Amr of Yabar Kahana, so in other words, if it's Kabua, we went through this yesterday. So Rashi says, says in the places where they were, like their natural place where they were living, then it's considered to be Kavua, and then Kavua is Kemech Sal Mechsa, then it's like 50-50. So let's see back in the Gemara. No, in other words, with the Aseret HaShvatim, where Shalmaneser brought the 10 Shvatim, that's Kavua, that's their natural place. So but the Mesupak, we don't know if this person was descended from them, but it's still like 50-50. He says, two lines to the bottom. The Amr Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, he quotes the pasuk and say from Malachim, by Nechem Ba'achlach of Chavor Nahar goes on Va'arima Dai, that he, the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria, led the people in the Aser Shvatim to these places. Ba'achlach of Chavor Nahar goes on Va'arima Dai. Chalach, he says, like Ba'achlach, he assumes is in the place Chalach. So Chalach is a Chalzon. That's Chalzon. He says, V'chabur, that's Chadayev, and he said in the art school it was Adi Abney. He says, Nahar goes on, Zuginzik, but Reimadai, Zuchamadan, the Chaday Rotah. The last one is Hamadan. Hamadan, we think we know in Iran, Hamadan, the Chaday Rotah, and the neighboring locations. So those were the places where the Aser HaShvatim were brought. But Amri law, others say, Zunihar, the Chaday Rotah. It was the town of Nihar, and its adjoining towns. Chaveru Teman, what are the adjoining towns? Amr Shmuel, Kerak Moshe Echidki Vedumkia, those are the neighboring towns. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Mikul Nufsul. Rabbi Yochanan says that most of the people there were these Mamzerim. He says that intermarried. He says, now Rashi says that the Noda Serta Shvatim, but Obdok, I'm sorry, Shnu Ob Serta Shvatim, but Obdok Kokavim. I'm sorry, crescent side. But notice Aser HaShvatim bo vekel chavim, that the women of the Aser HaShvatim intermarried with a non-Jewish man, ubnei narim kisraelim, and the kids are Jewish. In other words, v'hin lo nisharu v'nasu ze'achoto bito v'rehin mamzerut. So Rashi here explains that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have to agree that the non-Jew who has relations, the Jew who has relations with a non-Jewish woman, that the offspring is a mamzer, like we said before, the name of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Ravasi. Rabbi Yochanan can hold that only if the mother is Jewish, it's Jewish. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, he's saying that the Jewish women from the Aser HaShvatim, they intermarried with non-Jewish men, and then the offspring like engaged in incestuous relationships. So they're mamzerim. So it's like bad. In other words, the people in those places, then the yichus is a mess. So the Gemara says, "Ki amritu kami de Shmuel." So now, Rav Yehuda. So we've had this before. Rav Yehuda like learned by Rav, and then after Rav's death, he learned by Shmuel. But here the Gemara says, Rashi says that he went to study with Ravasi, and then Ravasi died, and he went to study with Shmuel. But either way, So what the Gemara says that he says ki amrita kami b'Shmuel. So when I said this halacha before Shmuel, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda said in Ravasi that if a Jewish man has relations with a non-Jewish woman, the vlad is a mamzer. So he says now that when he said came before Shmuel, so Shmuel said, this is a famous member of Chazal, we're on the fifth line on Yud Zayin Aleph 17a, the fifth line. He says, Amar Li, he said to me, that your son that comes from a Jewish woman is called your son. That if it's a Jewish father, non-Jewish mother, that's not called your son. You know, I'm sorry, Yosef, can I, yeah, just a chumash, give me a chumash, thank you so much. Anyway, there's a pasuk at the end of Vayetanan. So the pasuk says, thank you so much. So the pasuk says, lo tikhatein bam. You shouldn't marry the non-Jewish woman. And then it says, one second, like, let me get the pasuk out and we'll talk. I got it. Okay, so he says, yes. So if you have the art scroll, it's Devarim Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. If you have the art scroll, page 976. So the pasuk says, "V'lo tidchatein bam." You shouldn't intermarry with the non-Jewish people in Eretz Israel. "Bitcha lo tzein levno." You shouldn't give your daughter to his son. In other words, the Jewish daughter shouldn't marry the non-Jewish man. "Uvito lo tikach levnecha." Don't take the non-Jewish daughter for your son. Then the key is the next pasuk. He will take your son, your grandson. He'll remove him from like me. In other words, like from worship of Hashem. Parshat Be'et Chanan. Yasir ben Chami Acharai v'Abduli Macherim v'Charaf Hashem v'Chamish Mitcham Aher. So the first pasuk gives two possibilities. Either you have the Jewish woman with the non-Jewish husband, or the Jewish husband with a non-Jewish woman. And then it says, Ki yasir ebincha, he will remove your son from my worship. So the way Chazal take it, it's like the first case. In other words, with the Jewish woman and the non-Jewish husband, so the boy is still Jewish. He's called bincha, your son, means like your grandson. Ki yasir ebincha, but he'll remove him from like my worship. So that's a raya that if the mother is Jewish, it's Jewish. The other case, he doesn't speak. Just one second, hold it, and then we'll think of all your questions, take a pad, write it down, or if you don't, make a mental note of it, and we'll come to it in just a few minutes, okay? So the Gemara says, that's what Shmuel says. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara said that, in these places where the Jewish men had relations with the non-Jewish women, so the offspring would not be Jewish. So the Gemara says, "Va'ika banot." But what about the Jewish women? In other words, banot, the Aseret Shvatim, men and women. So the men marry non-Jewish women, so they're not Jewish. But what about the Jewish women? You just said the Jewish women, the offspring are Jewish. He says, "Va'amar avina shvamina ben bicha habamin ovechul kavim krui bincha." And Ravina said that your granddaughter that comes from a non-Jew is called from a non-Jew is called your son. In other words, the mother is covered with Judaism. So the Gemara says, "Gemiri, our Masor is the Banta to Hudara, the women of that generation that went into Galus in the time of Shalmaneser, the king of Ashur. It's Taruya, it's Taru." So they were like ripped away. The wombs were ripped away. In other words, there's something, I don't know whether there's difficulty of traveling or whatever, that they became infertile. And so there's nothing to be cultured with that. So the Gemara ends up saying that according to Shmuel, right? So we don't have to worry about, the descendants of the Aseret Shvatim that they're Jewish. That's a dead letter. But one more line and then we'll pause. So, others say that Rabbi Yehuda, when he stated this halakha from Ravasi, that the Jewish man and the non-Jewish woman, the offspring were mamzerim, he says, Amar le, so Shmuel had a different answer. That the Bezdin decided that the Aseret Shvatim, the descendants, are not Jewish. In other words, it's a different answer. He's saying, notwithstanding the fact that they might be Jewish al-pi halacha, but they were kovid, but not Jewish. Shenemar v'Hashem bagadu kibanim zarim yaladu, like they acted treasonously with Hashem, kibanim zarim yaladu. They gave birth to like sort of like non-Jewish children. So just one second. So the way the Aruch Scroll has it is here they quote. Yeah. So here, a note, footnote 13, they say the prophets, with the aid of the Ruach HaKodesh, declare that members of the Aser Tzfatim married non-Jews lose their status as Jews from the Karen Ora. Now, he says the general accepted opinion of the says this was a one-time decree that applied only to the Aser Tzfatim. Normally we say Yisrael HaTzai Yisrael. But we have a little more on this. He says here, he quotes the Gemara. This is from the Al Adaf. Now Shmuel on Daf Yud Zayin says that even one of the bridegroom's ancestors was a assimilated member of the Shetan Shvachim, he still lacks capacity to make kibushin, Pasuk and Hoshea. So he says, interestingly, the Chasam Sofer provides a scriptural source for granting Bezdin and the rabbinic sages the authority to exclude renegade Jews from Klal Yisrael. So in other words, the second Hezber in the Gemara seems to be the Bezdin declared them to be non-Jews. In other words, even like they were Jewish, but they were, well, right. In other words, the offspring to be not Jewish. So, I mean, the first answer is that if the father was Jewish, the mother was non-Jewish, so they're not Jewish. And as far as the women are concerned, they weren't fertile, they weren't able to bear it. That's the first answer to the Gemara. Second answer to the Gemara is that they declare the offspring not to be Jewish. So the Chasam Sofer provides a scriptural source for granting Bezdin and the rabbinic sages their authority to exclude renegades from Israel, so them as Gentiles. So Ezra declared in Ezra Perikud, that whoever does not return from the exile and come to Yerushalayim within 3 days, Yacharam Kol Ruchusho, all his property should be confiscated. He'll be separated or expelled from the community. The Gemara in Gitlan Lamed Vav writes from the first part of the took Yacharam Kol Rucho, that Hefker Bezdin Hefker, that Bezdin has a koach to declare your property Hefker. That's where the Gemara learns the koach of Bezdin. I can declare your property is not. He says, the Chasam Sofer sees the last part of the Pasuk, he'll be expelled from the community as authorization for Bezdin and the sages to divest an individual of his Israel, Jewish sanctity, and render him a Gentile, and thus deprive him of the ability to effect Kiddushin, which is a big fetish. Now, the question is, when they do this, is it just the Aser Tzfatim or something else? So the Meiri writes that some authorities in the sense rules assertion is relevant to any Jew who abandons his faith and worships idols. They maintain that every Meshumad apostate is ruled a Gentile, and his Kiddushin is invalid. That's what the Meiri is writing. According to these opinions, a woman who accepts Kiddushin from a Meshumad is not considered married and is permitted to remarry without a get, halakha divorce. The Rishwa disagrees, for he limits Shmuel's assertion to the Ten Shvatim. In other words, is this a general ruling they're saying? Like anybody who's like going off the derech, so, not like he's Meshumad, so he loses his status as being a Jew, or is it limiting it just to the Aser Shvatim? So the Rifa limits it to the Ten Shvatim. He explains the Pasuk in Hosea, which labels the children of Ten Shvatim as Gentiles, has no bearing on apostate Jews in other generations because the proclamation was directed only at the Ten Shvatim. He says, the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with the opinion that the Yushin of Meshumin has validity and cannot be dissolved without a get. So the halakha we hold that a Meshumin is Mekadesh, so you have Kiddushin, Yisrael Afish Chatal Yisrael Hu. But this, with the Ten Shvatim, according to the Zlashon, they like revoke their Jewish ID cards, it sounds like. Okay, what's again? Could they afterwards be Megayer? Yeah, I don't know. This whole thing sounds so complicated. I don't know. Okay, who's got questions, comments to us? Wait, repeat again. Right. Well, it sounds like, it's Ashur is somewhere in the Assyrian Empire. It's the Assyrian Empire, is like that was the area where they, ruled, like around Iraq and that type of area. So, according to the Gemara, if you understand Hamadan is Hamadan in Persia, so that there would be one place where they could have gone. All right, any other questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, so I'm going to move on. All right, let's see. Now, Yatib Rav Yosef, according to Rav Kana, Rav Yosef is sitting behind Rav Kahana. Yatib Rav Kahana commands Rav Yehuda, Rav Kahana. So the rear row is Rav Yosef, the front row is Rav Kahana, And the Yativ Rav Kana made Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda, it sounds like he's the Magid Shir. He's the one who's speaking. The Yativ Ka'amar, it's not clear who said and said, but the Aruch L'Ner was put in the Aruch L'Ner, says it's Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says, Atidin Yisrael da'av yomatava hicharbi Tarmud. He says, in the future, Klal Yisrael is going to make a Yativ when the city of Tarmud is destroyed. So the so remember we said in Tarmud, we had like either the Abdi Shlomo, or we had, or else we had like the B'nai Yerushalayim were ravaged by these non-Jews, remember? And when they came to the Heichal, so the Pekulim in Tarmud, Kavan Gerim in Tarmud, he says, so there was machloket whether you can accept Gerim from Tarmud or not. So what was the issue with Tarmud? So why not to accept Gerim? So remember, this opinion held that a non-Jew has relations with a Jewish woman, the offspring is a mamzer. So that would be a reason not to accept Gerim from the people in Tarmud, because they might be mamzerim. We don't increase mamzerim. In other words, if they're Jewish and they're mamzerim, so then they're Jewish, but we don't know that they're Jewish. We don't know who's who and what's what. So we don't want to accept Gerim from Tarmud because they might be mamzerim. We don't accept, mamzerim in Klal Yisrael. So we spoke about this yesterday. Remember, Tarmud, we said, was the city of Palmyra that was in Syria. Remember, we discussed this. So he said, so in the future, Klaus is going to make Yantiv when Tarmud is destroyed. The Gemara says, Vahi Chariv, but it is already destroyed. It is destroyed. Vahi Tamud have right. No, the city of Tamud is destroyed, not Tarmud. Vashimar, Hainu Tarmud, Hainu Tamud. So Ravashi says, Zalbazach, sounds like Yiddish, mush, mush, whatever. Anyway, Hainu Tarmud, Hainu Tamud, it's the same thing. If fully who the Michpal, but it like duplicated itself. How so? Chariv Mehai Gisa, if one part of the town was destroyed, Otiv Mehai Gisa, the other part of the town was settled. The Chariv Mehai Gisa, if one part of the town was settled, he says, Otiv Mehai Gisa, it was settled in the other town. But if there's harm, it should go away. So Yaakov Rav Hamnuna coming to Ula. So Rav Hamnuna was sitting for Ula, the Kahavi B'Shmaita. He was like Osek in a Shuan asking questions. Amar. So Ula is the Makat Shir, and Rav Hamnuna is like asking. So Ula says, Amar my Gavra, Umar, we have Gavra, Umar, the Bach has, where's the Bach? He says, Umar Gubre. In other words, how would a man, and what like strength of the man? He says, Ilav the Harpani Amate. It were not for the fact that he came from Harpania. In other words, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but unfortunately he comes from Harpania. This is Ula. So, Rav Hamnuna. In other words, Rav Hamnuna is the one who's Makshin. So, unfortunately, he comes from Harpania. Harpania, he's saying, it's like, the Yichus is, like, not so great. So Rav Hamnuna was embarrassed when he heard that. He says, Amarle. So then, Ula said, Kesef Gulgal for the Heche Yahavit. Where do you give your taxes? Amarle, the Pumnara. I pay taxes in Pumnara. So, Amarle, in Timi Pumnara. So then you're from Pumnara. You're in good faith. So the Gemara says, "My harpania." What's the the etymology of the word harpania? And the idea is that the harpania is like a chashbash mamzerus, the mamzerim. So my harpania, Amrib Zera, harshakul ponimbo. It's the like harpania is the mountain that everybody turns to. It means like if you have problems with your yichus, you go there. You go to the singles event in harpania. He says, if you look at Rashi. Around 20 lines above where it gets wide, shekol ponim sham, psul shem motzim isha ponim holkum sham. Anybody who's got a psul in his yichus and he can't find a shirach, he goes there harpania. He says, but manit the time of the brisa we learn, psul shem akir mishpachto v'shivto nitzan l'sham. You don't know your mishpacha, your shevet, so you go there. So I'm a rabba, miyamukam mishol. So rabba says it's like deeper than shol. Shol is like Gehenim. Says Hashem says I'll redeem them from Sheol. He says, but the psul in Harpania leilu takanta. There's no takana for it, so it's like deeper, worse off than Sheol. He says psulim in Harpania mishom psulei demishon. He says the psulim in Harpania get all the psulim from Mishon. He says psulei demishon mishom psulei the Tarmud, and the Mishon get it from Tarmud. Klu Tarmud Mishum Avdei Shlomo. Klu Tarmud because the Avdei Shlomo, remember the Avadim Shlomo that you know, with the slaves, and then they had relations with the Jewish women. In other words, the idea is that the psulim keep increasing as they go from place to place. In other words, you start off with Tarmud, and then you go to Mishon, and it's like even more and more psulim there. And from Mishon, you go to Harpanya. It says, "Vayinu da'amri inshi, kaba rabba kaba zuta, meganjava aziel l'shol." That's what people say. Like you have a big kav and a small kav. Big kav and a small kav means like Rashi says, "Eifa gadol, eifa katana." It's like a term from like disreputable market practices. In other words, like there's not an eifa katana and eifa gadola. In other words, so it's like this. It's like a big kav and a small kav. Meganjava aziel, like rolls, like a snowball rolls. Ba'azil l'shol goes to shol. We sha'ol the Tarmud, from sha'ol goes to Tarmud, Tarmud is worse. We Tarmud the Meishan, we Meishan the Harpanya. In other words, these places, they got a lot of Yichus problems, and they get worse and worse, and they get more and more problematic cases in each one of the places, and it's a difficult situation. All right, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? So this is not in Eretz Yisrael. It sounds like, remember, we said Tarmud, we said it was in the desert. And if you say that it's Palmyra, it's in the Syrian desert. So Syria was conquered by David HaMelech with Aram Tzova. So if you do it like that. So, and we did say that Avdei Shlomo, you know, got involved there. So it could be that it was part of Eretz Yisrael at one point. But the other places, though, that's Tarmud. But then the other places, Meishan and Harpanya, I don't think those are even in Syria. I think those are in Babel. Okay. All right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. You completed one parak in Yevamot. We're on a roll. And the siyum is July 7th. July 7th. All right. What? 7th. July 7th. 7th. Yeah. Okay.
That
okay.
Means this was just the warm-up act.
Well, all right. Okay, now, if you remember in the first Mishnah we learned in the Masechta that there were, you know, people that, you know, have no shaykhus to Yibam, and one of them was there's a top line on Beis Amud Beis that if it's, in other words, if let's say Reuben and Shimon, and let's say Reuben is married to Rachel, and then but then Reuben dies, and then after Reuben dies, Shimon is born. So Shimon is, and then this woman, Rachel, is Eishet Achiv, it's his brother's wife, but Lo Hayah Ba'olamo. He never was alive and being together with his brother. So there's no mitzvah of Yibum in that case. So we discussed this previously, but what? Right. Right, so there's no mitzvah yibum or chalitza, but it's eishet achiv. It's an erva, but the key is that she can go do whatever she wants in that kind of pattern. Let's see, but then, wait, say again, repeat. No, wait, say again. In other words, if there's two brothers, and then the second brother was born after the death of the first brother, three brothers, and then she, right. We'll see in a minute. Okay, now. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, okay, Kesed Ishtachim Shel Belamo, Shnei Achim. So it starts off with two brothers, Reuben and Shimon. They're living at the same time, Reuben and Shimon. Reuben is married to Rachel, Shimon is married to Leah, and Rachel and Leah are not sisters. He says, Umeda Chadmehem, then Reuben dies, and then a third brother is born, Levi. So now there's two surviving brothers, so to speak, but Levi never lived at the same time as Reuben. And so Vacharkach Yibam Hasheni and Eishet Achiv. Then Shimon does Yibam with Rachel. So now Shimon is married to Rachel and married to Leah, right? Shimon is married to Reuben's widow, Rachel, and he's married to Leah, his own wife. Umeit Harishona, Umeit. And now Shimon dies. Now as Levi looks over the situation, he sees two women, Rachel and Leah. Rachel is not eligible for Yibam for him. That's because she's Eishet Achiv. In other words, if Reuven, she was Eishet Achiv, Shlo Yav Olamo. So it's just the Erva, no mitzvah Yibam or Chalis with her, but it's an Isra Rayot if he would have relations with her. That's an Erva. And then Leah is the Sarah, right, exactly right. So Umeid, so then Shimon dies, Harishon Yotza Mishom Eishet Achiv Shlo Yav Olamo. So Rachel goes off scot-free, so to speak, because she's you know, the wife of his brother that wasn't in the same life with him. Bahashniya, which is Leah, Yishum Tzara'ata. Now, Asaba Ma'amar, if Shimon did Ma'amar with Rachel, he did Ma'amar. Now, Ma'amar is like Kiddushin, like with Kesef or Star, but it's only on a Drabbanan level with his surviving widow. And it was normally, if there's a woman in the world, so the first Mishnah says in Kiddushin, I can even Kaddish in one of the ways with Kesef Star and Bia. But for Yibum, there's only one way to do Yibum, that's to have relations. But the Chamin were Metakein Ma'amar, and I spoke a while ago to Rabbi Sobolovsky about this. I don't know if I mentioned to you, did I mention it? He said that Ma'amar is in each case because the Chamin didn't think it was like people should like do Yibum directly. It was like more this way. So I think that's what you were quoting somebody, Michael, that's what he was talking about, Ma'amar. So I said, I mentioned Ma'amar could be rejected. It. Anyway, So now let's say in this case, Shimon never does Yibum with Rachel, but he does Ma'amar with Rachel. So if he does Ma'amar with Rachel, it means Rachel's only married to him on a Drabbanan level. On a Deraisa level, she's not married to him. You with me? Okay. Then Shimon dies. So now as Levi looks over the whole situation, so in essence, Leah is not really the Tzara of an Erva on a Deraisa level because the Kiddushim only on a Drabbanan level. So really there's a mitzvah Yibum or a Chalitza on a Deraisa level with Leah. But you can't do Yibum with her because it looks like it's the sister of the Erva. In other words, because of the Tzara of the Erva, yeah. So he has to do Chalitza. So let's see back again. So Asaba Ma'amar. So if Shimon did Ma'amar, Umay, so Leah has to do chalitza and not yibum, right? He says, right. So she's not really the tzara, but if you look at the last Rashi on the Mishnah, the mamar kunim miksav by tzara the erva miksav midrabanan. So in a certain way, she's the tzara of an erva, but not so much. So you have to do chalitza but no yibum. Okay, that's Levi has to do a chalitza with Leah, right? Okay, is everybody good? Any questions, comments, thoughts on the Mishnah? What's that?
A general question.
Okay, wait.
Does Chalitza
have... Wait. Let me get to Rafi and come to you. Okay, Fern, go. Wait. We're not talking about... I'm losing it. I don't know. All right. So, okay. What's up, Fern?
Fern? Is there a time frame for Yibum that it has to be done by?
I think that usually wait at least 3 months, but then you go do it. I don't know. That's it. Okay. Now, let's see further.
Is there a statute of limitations on it, or it can be done anytime?
No, there's no statute of limitations, and it becomes problematical. Right, she's stuck with this whole situation. Okay,
right.
Now we're 3 lines to the bottom. Okay, so please mute everybody. Okay, so Amrav Nachman, Mantani Rishon Lo Mishtabesh, Mantani Shnei Lo Mishtabesh. So apparently there were two versions in our Mishnah. So on the fourth line of the Mishnah, it says, Umeit HaRishon Yotza Mishon Eishadach Yishloi Belamo. If Shimon dies, I'm going over the Mishnah, HaRishona, the first one, which is Rachel, she's Yotza Mishma Eishat Yishol Bolomo. She leaves off because she's not, part of the, she's the Erva. And Bahashti Mishim Tzarata. So a different version of the Mishnah had, it says, Umeid Hashniya Yotza Mishma Eishat Yishol Bolomo. In other words, it's talking about the same woman, but it's calling Rachel the Shnia, and it's calling Leah the Rishona, okay? But it means the same thing, but a different version calls what we call Rishona, calls Shnia, and what we call Shnia calls Rishona. The one that's going off without doing anything is the Erva, is Reuben's wife, and the other one, Leah, is the Tzara of the Erva. So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Matan Rishona L'Mishtabesh, the one who learns the Mishnah Rishona, that's not corrupt, it's not incorrect. Matan Shnia L'Mishtabesh, the one who learns the Shnia is not Mishtabesh, not correct, not corrupt. Mantani, 10 pages, top line on Gizan Beis. Mantani Rishona lo mishtabesh. The one where Rishona is not corrupted. My Rishona, Rishona nefilim. What does Rishona mean? means the first one to fall for Yibam. In other words, like in the Yibam chronology of events, so Rachel was the first one to fall for Yibam, because when her husband Reuven died, she fell for Yibam, so he calls the Rishona. Now, the one who calls Rachel Shnia is not corrupted. My Shnia, Shnia li Yisuin. So that would say the Gemara thinks that of Shimon's wives, in other words, we think Shimon was married to Leah, and then he does Yibam with Rachel. So that's the second marriage. So it calls her the Shnia, and there was a second wife. So now the Gemara interjects, has a question on that Hezder. Does the Mishnah have to be, the Levi was married already to Leah, and then only then he did Yibam with Rachel? Can it be that he did Yibam with Rachel first and then married Leah? How did you figure out the order that way? So the Gemara gives up on that shot. Elamai Shnia, Shnia b'nisuin. What a Shnia means, Shnia b'nisuin, it means the one who was married twice. Her second marriage is what it means here. So in the Shnia means Rachel is the one who was married twice, and Leah was married once. That's all saying. Okay, everybody good? I'm moving on. Okay, now we're on line 5. He's on a base. Now, so where do we learn in the Torah, or where do we extrapolate this halacha? That again, we know the halacha of Yibam is set forth in Parsha Ki Tesei. But where do we see that if it's a brother and you weren't in the world at the same time, that there's no din Yibum and Chalitza for him? So Amar Rav Marav, Amar Kra, Yeshvuchim Yachdav. The Torah says if two brothers, Yeshvu means to dwell. Yeshvuchim Yachdav, they dwell together. Shaitalam Yeshiva Achat Ba'olam. That they were on this earth at the same time. Prad Eishachim Shel Ba'olamo. In other words, so that's excluding that Eishachim Shel Ba'olamo. In other words, it's really learning Yeshvu Achim is the diyuk, not Yachdav. Yeshvu Achim, that brothers dwell, but they have to dwell together on the earth at the same time. Then Yachdav, Miuchadim Benachala, that they're joined for Nachala. He says, Prat Lachiv Benaim, meaning that one would yarshin from the other as opposed to his maternal brother. Maternal brother, Yerusha doesn't go through the maternal brothers. So we're learning two dinim from the psukim so far. One, we're learning that Eishin Achiv Shil Balamo is not part of Yibam or Chalitza. And second, we're learning that the whole din of Yibam is only from your paternal brother and not from your maternal brother. In other words, if it's a full-blooded brother, obviously there is. But in other words, if you have a paternal brother and a maternal brother, so the Yibam is only with the paternal brother, not the maternal brother. Everybody good? The maternal brother, not the paternal brother, yes. Okay? All right. So that's one limud we have. Now the Gemara gives another limud to teach me that Eish Achiv Shel Ba'olamo, or no, for the Yibam only on the paternal side. So Rabbi Amar, Achim and Av Yalif, Achva Achva Ibn Yaakov. Rabbi says, we learn that it has to be a paternal brother from the sons of Yaakov. Now it's Achva Achva. Here it says Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachdav, if two brothers dwell together, and then it says by Bnei Yaakov, it says, you know, Shnei Masar Abadecha Achim Bnei Avinu. When they go down to Egypt, and they meet Yosef, and he accuses them to be Meraglim. He said, we're not Meraglim, we're not spies. Shnei Masar Abadecha Achim Bnei Avinu. We're 12 sons, but Achim, brothers. You know, Achim b'nei Avinu, the sons of one father. We have different mothers, but the sons of one father. So he says, Yalif Achva Achim b'nei Yaakov, Mahalim b'nei Av, V'lo b'nei Aim. Just like over there, it says, you know, Achim Achim, or it's Hashem Asar B'decha Achim. Achim, and here it says Achim. It says, Mahalim b'nei Av, V'lo b'nei Aim, Achim b'nei Av, V'lo b'nei Aim. So we have two rayas that it's paternal, right? One is that it says, Yachdav, together, the Gemara says Yachdav Yerusha, and the other is Gzeirah Shavah from Bnei Yaakov. So the Gemara says, okay, it's nice limud, but Leilav Achva Achva Me'arayot. Why can't I learn a different Gzeirah Shavah? Why can't I learn Achva Achva from Arayot? So by Arayot in Achrei Mod, it says, what's the pasuk? He says, one second. Yeah, Erbadi Shachicha. So it says, don't reveal the nakedness of your brother's wife, when his brother's wife is an erva. So there, eshet achicha can mean paternal or maternal, either way. So why are you so sure that the gzeirah shava is achim achim from bnei Yaakov? Emimela, it's got to be paternal brothers. Why can't I learn achim and achicha and then it be both paternal and maternal? So the Gemara says, danim achim yachim, bein danim achim yachicha. We're going to learn the identical word from the identical word, achim achim, when I can take achim me'achicha. So the Gemara says, my nafmina, why is that significant that in one place you have achicha? He says, hatan be Rabbi Shmuel. We learn a brayso from the base bench of Rabbi Shmuel, and you see on the side, I can cite for you in about 10 different places in Shas, and we've had this. It says, v'shava kohen uba kohen. So it's talking about when the kohen is inspecting the house from Saras, and there's a gzeirah shava to say that, you know, just like at one point in the inspection, everything you're doing, you're peeling away all the plaster and stuff like that. So to the other time, when one pasuk says v'shava kohen, the kohen will return. The other pasuk says uba kohen, and the Gemara has a gzeirah shava, and it's not even the same word. It's a similar idea. The kohen's going to come to the house, but it's not even the same word. Zui shiva zui bia. So mela, we don't have to be so precise with the gzeirah shava to get the exact word. So why are you so certain that we're learning from bnei Yaakov and not from the Arayot? So that's only if you have nothing that matches, so that I can go like the unmatching word. If I have something, I have a choice between A or B. A is the exact same word. B is not the exact same word. I'm going for A, the exact same word. That's what the Gemara. It seems to say, like I spoke to Rabbi Packer today, but it seems like the Adam is sore. There's a Zer Shava with Achim, but they weren't sure exactly where it was. So the choices are Achim or Achicha, so we're going to go with Achim over Achicha. Okay, now the Gemara asks, V'leilav Achva Achva Milot. Why can't we learn Achim from Lot? Lot, if you remember, was Avram Avinu's nephew, and he says, remember Avram says to Lot, Alnati imi riva b'ini b'necha b'in ruwaya b'in ruwecha. Let's not have a whole fight about things, Lot, you know, and Chazal teaches us that Lot's, you know, shepherds were grazing the sheep in other people's land. And Avram Avinu felt that was like Zela, and Lot felt that, well, you know, Hashem promised the whole land to Avram Avinu. I mean, Lam is Yoresh, he has no son, so I could do it. But even with that, like the time for Yerusha was not yet. So he says, look, we have to split. He says, we're brothers. So if I learn it from there, that would mean that I could do Yibam, even a nephew with an uncle. In other words, that would be the Yibam, right? In other words, there's an uncle and a nephew. And they're called Achim, like bro, like people say today, you know, like we're brothers, but it doesn't mean brothers, like, you know, brothers, like in the same parents. It says like we're kinsmen. In other words, Lot, Avram says to Lot, Anashim Achim Anachnu, but they weren't brothers in the normal sense. Avram was the uncle and Lot was the nephew. So if that's the case, then why don't I learn from there? And I'll learn this Yibam even between a nephew and an uncle. Right. Okay, so let's see, Lewis. So the Gemara says, Mistabro, mi b'nei Yaakov, probably the Melef. So the Gemara says, more logical that we should learn from b'nei Yaakov, mishum demufni, because the word over there is superfluous by b'nei Yaakov. Midabro, the Mikhtav, shneim asar abadecha, b'nei Avinu. It could have just as easily said, shneim asar abadecha, b'nei Avinu. There were 12 servants, the son of, you know, one father. Uchiv achim, the word achim is totally superfluous in that pasuk. So it's too superfluous. So if you remember, we've had this a lot of times in the Gemara, there's different shitot, and there's machlokot exactly how this works, but according to one shot, if I have questions against the gzeirah shava, if it's mufna, it's immune from attack, and then one side holds it has to be mufna from both sides, another side says it has to be mufna on one side. But since it's mufna, so that's the more one logical that we should learn from there. You know, Agav Orech, I'll mention this, something that, there's a piece of Torah that I heard, like, online from Rav Eliakim Konigsberg, but I looked it up afterwards. I can't remember the name of Sefer that it's from. I think it was quoted in the Sefer Shari Aaron. He says, Ki anashim achim anachnu. So one shot that he says is that we look alike. Avraham Avinu says to Lot, we look similar to each other. In other words, like, not just like we're related, like we look alike. And so people will think, like if you graze your sheep, then I'm grazing the sheep. You know, so like pasta, we gotta separate. You get your area, I get my area. We gotta separate ourselves from. Okay, so let's just summarize what we did so far. We're sort of veering off to a slightly different direction. We moved away from the Eshet Ach to the issue of like the Yibum is with the paternal brother. So we had two rayas, sof, that it has to be paternal brother. One is Ki Yeshua Chim Yachdav, that brothers dwell together. But their Yachdav means that they have Yerusha between one another. So that's from the father's side, paternal, Yachdav, Yerusha. And then we have the Gzir Shava Achim Achim. It says Achim in the parsha with Yibam. This is Achim by Bnei Yaakov. So just like Bnei Yaakov, we're just paternal brothers, so too here. Okay? Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did so far? Yes, the Gemara just says that let's say I'll leave the word out. How does Pasuk read? Shnei Masar Abadecha Bnei Avinu. In other words, your servants are sons of our father. Right? So what is Achim Ed? If Bnei Avinu were the sons of our father, so they're brothers, okay? All right, any... We just said, remember a moment ago, remember the Gemara said, why can't I say it's Achicha by Arayot, by Erva? Don't marry your brother's wife. The brother's wife could be the brother on the maternal side or the paternal side. That what? Say again, repeat. What? I don't understand the question. State the question again. Go ahead. No, do we have a case in the Torah where brothers are brothers on the mother's side? I mean, you mean the mother's side and not the father's side. So I can't remember anywhere in the Chumash where we see that, but Befurish. Well, Befurish with people, but we saw that in Be'erva this way. Okay, so I'm going to move forward in the Gemara. Everybody all set? All right. So, okay, now we're up to the word Ichtrif. Okay, so we're around midway down on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, we're around midway down the column. First word in line is Ichtrif. Ichtrif Mitzvachim, Ichtrif Mitzvachetap. So now, the Gemara says it's like it's Trichusa. It's not like it is. In other words, I need both Limudim. He says, the Ikatab Rachman Achim, if the Torah would only teach me the Gezerah Shav of Achim and leave out the word Yachdav, Havamina Lilach Achva Achva Milot. I would have said I should go for Achva Achva from Lo. He says, Vachitain Alamufni, and maybe say, look, but Lod, it's not a superfluous term. The other place had a superfluous term. Lai, if Nui Mufni. So the Gemara says it is superfluous. Now, the only thing is, it could have written Re'im. Now, this is a difficult line in the Gemara. So the way that they quote in the article, the Ramban and Rashba in this Gemara, it's saying that we don't really need a mufta term by like Achim. In other words, the Achim, we don't need a mufta term. In other words, like Lechora, there's no kashas against and things like that. What we need it is to define what the Torah calls Achim. So the thing is like this. So maybe like this. If you would say... He says, if the Torah meant, in other words, what does Achim mean? So maybe when Avram Avinu says to Lot, we're Achim, maybe he just means we're like companions, like we're pals, Achim. He says, but it says, it could, if that was the case, the Torah could have written Re'im. So since it says Achim, so then I would know that it's limited to like the uncle and the nephew. So Shmamin Alaf Nuyeh. But the point being, though, that if I had only had that Achim, I would conclude that Achim means even uncle-nephew. So Kafrach Mani Yachdav, Mutati Manachla. So Torah has to write Yachdav, teach me it has to be people where you do Yerusha on the father's side. Yikatavrach Mani Yachdav, and the Torah only said Yachdav, Havamina Demiachade Ba'aba Ve'ima. I would say you have to be, you know, both maternal and paternal. So Tricha. So I need both. So I need the Shrichusa. One without the other, I can't have. I need both. So it's going to add up. It's going to add up that if I only had the Yachdav, I would think it's brother, mother, and father. So I have Achim that teaches me from the Bnei Yaakov, and then And then if I only have Bnei Yaakov, then I would think maybe I should go to Lot with Avram Avinu. So Kamashman. Okay, now, Sricha. So the verse of Vahane Hechateti says, why would I think that it would be a both maternal and paternal brother? Yibum Benachla Talav Hamana. We know that Yibum is inherently connected to Yerusha. It says, you know, that it says Vayaben Abachor Asher Tilei Yakum Hashem Achiva Meid. So Chazal is saying that pasuk. We went through this, I think, right? That pasuk is an unusual pasuk. It says Vahaya Bachor. So Chazal is saying that meaning that the oldest of the brothers should do the Yibum, and Asher Tilei, we learned that the Yibama has to be fertile. Yakum Hashem Achiva Meid. That the surviving brother who does Yibum, he yarshens his brother. So he says, V'na'achla v'na'av lo v'na'im. So he. No, that we said that already. That Chazal don't understand the Pasuk that way at all. And it was that Pasuk's like a code. It's speaking, it's not to read and translate the Pasuk. It's like, does not mean you wear the film between your eyes. No. So he says that Pasuk means something totally different. So the Gemara says, so Yitzrich, I would think it's a tremendous chiddush that the erva, which is the wife of your brother, is permissible for you. I would think that you need both parents. It has to be on the mother and the father's side. So it's frequent. So therefore, I need the pasuk to teach me that it's just on the father's side. Right. Okay. Now, the Gemara goes to a slightly different topic. Okay, so I'm moving forward. Now, Amar Avun Amar Rav, Shemer Yavam Shemeta Mutar Be'ima. Shemer Yavam Shemeta, it means, let's say Reuben died, then Reuben was married to Rachel, and then Shemer Yavam Shemeta Mutar Be'ima. And then Rachel dies before he does Yibam or Chalitza. So Rav Huna says that he, Shimon, is allowed, if he chooses, and she's otherwise free, to marry Rachel's mother. Marry Rachel's mother if he chooses. He says, Al Mitzavar Ein Zika. So from there we can see the Rabbuna holds Ein Zika. This is what we touched on yesterday. Remember this Machloket? Michael, are you still with us? With this Machloket in the Gemara, whether Yesh Zika or Ein Zika. So again, this Zika that we're talking about is when if I'm the Yavam and my brother dies, do I say that there's such a connection between me and the widow that I'm prohibited now at that point marrying all of her relatives, just like she's my wife. Or let's say I did Arison with her, like, and she wasn't there, so I couldn't marry my mother-in-law, and I couldn't marry, you know, my wife's sister. So do we say the same way, Yesh Zika, like it's the Zika that all the relatives become prohibited before I do anything, just upon the death of my brother. So the Gemara says, so from the fact that Rav Huna says that if Rachel dies, he can marry Rachel's mother, That must be Ein Zika, because if I'm married to a woman and Rachmanam she dies, I'm always prohibited. That's my mother-in-law. I can never marry my mother-in-law. So the Gemara says, "V'leim alachti debrei omer Ein Zika." So why doesn't Rav Huna just say, instead of this whole, you know, shtickel Torah about the Yishmer Yavam that dies, the whole thing? Why doesn't he just say the halach is like the opinion that holds Ein Zika? There's no Zika. Yihava marhachi avamina hanimila betray. He says, if he would have said Ein Zika, I would have thought that's when there are two surviving brothers. That's Ein Zika. In other words, Reuben dies, he's married to Rachel, and there's Shimon and Levi. So to say that both Shimon and Levi are prohibited in Rachel's relatives, it's more like a more of an extension of it. So I would see that sort of means Ein Zika, Ababachad, Ein Zika. Now, this is totally the Mishnah later on. Let's go to the Mishnah. Let's do this Mishnah, and then we'll come back. So look at the Mishnah, Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph. Everybody turn quickly to 41a. And if you have an article, here's a Gemara for you. Okay, you need a Gemara? Here's a Gemara. Okay. Mem Aleph. Okay, so turn to Mem Aleph, Mem Aleph. If you look at the Mishnah, it's around the fifth line, the fourth line in the Mishnah. On 41a, okay, the people at home. So it says, Shomer Yavam, Shekidesha Chivarach Otoh. So let's say I have Reuben dies, and now Levi, Shmuel Yavam Shekinei Shachiv Rachel Torah, and Levi did Kiddushin with Rachel's sister. Let's say Rachel has a sister, Leah. So Reuben dies, and Levi did Erusin with Leah. Leah was her sister. That's the only connection, this thing, her sister. So the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mitzrayim, they say, wait, don't go forward and consummate the marriage with Nisuin until your brother Shimon does Yibum or Chalitza. In other words, because Leah is Achot Zekukato, that's the wife of his Zika. In other words, he also has a Zika with Rachel, but that holds Yeh Zika. So Chalas La'achiv, so if his brother Shimon now does Chalitza, Okinsa, or Shimon does Yibum with her, Now he can marry her. Now, Meta Yavama Yifnosat Ishto. Or if Rachel dies, then he can also marry her. Meit Yavam, if instead, let's say, Shimon dies, Yotzi Ishto Begeh, he's got to do Gerushin with Leah, the Eshet Achi B'Chalisa. He has to do Chalisa because they were both, Achot Chalutzato. Okay, so that side holds, there is Chalitza. That side holds, there is Chalitza. There is Zika, that's what I meant. There is Zika, right. He says, so Shmuel says, Halakha Kareb Yehuda. So Shmuel says, if you look in the Gemara there, on the Aleph, the four lines of the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Halakha Kareb Yehuda Mimitera. Shmuel says, Halakha Palas Rabbi Yehuda Mimitera. So the Mishnah, we only saw Rabbi Yehuda Mimitera. So from Zaka, Shmuel says, Halakha Palas Rabbi Yehuda Mimitera. That is machlok, exactly right. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Tera holds Yesh Zika, and there's another opinion that holds Ein Zika. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So we're going to wrap it up in 3 minutes. Okay, Yitzayim Beis. So the Gemara says, V'leima halakha k'divrei Omer Ein Zika. So why doesn't Rav Huna just say the halakha is like the hint of Ein Zika? So Yehava Amar Hafi, if you say Ein Zika, have you been halakha betray? I would say Ein Zika if we have more than one surviving brother. He says, Aval b'chad, but when there's only one surviving brother, in other words, one surviving brother, he's lined up to do the Yibum or Chalitza, Yesh Zika. I would think there, in other words, that's a stronger argument to have Zika in that case. The Lema Kalachi Zibre Omer in Zika Fil b'chad. So why does he say the halacha is like the opinion? There's no Zika, even if there's only one surviving brother. The Amar Hachi, if he would have said that, Avimin would have said, Afil mechayim. I would have thought that even when everybody's alive, there's no Zika. In other words, if Reuben dies, he leaves a widow Rachel, and Shimon now is facing Rachel. And if Rav Huna would have said Ein Zika, I would have thought that even during the lifetime of Rachel, there's no Zika, and that I could now marry Rachel's mother. Ad kdei kach, I can't do, because I have to wrap up the chalitza with the yibum, the whole thing. So he says kamash malan la achar mita in mechayim lo. In other words, after the death, if Rachel is dead, then I can marry Rachel's mother. But if Rachel is still alive, and then I marry Rachel's mother, there's no way I could do Yibum with Rachel, because that would be my stepdaughter, right? So I would be Mevatel, the whole mitzvah of Yibum. So that's not an option that's open to me. Say again, well, again, everybody agrees, that on a derisive level, there is some connection between the Yavama and the Yavam. Everybody agrees with that. But here we're talking about Ein Zika and Yesh Zika to Asher the other relatives, like a wife. That's say again what? What happens? I don't know where the 30 days came from. But the... No, who said anything about 30 days? Where does this come from? Nobody said 30 days. Okay, all right. Well, what can I tell you? Okay. Now, all right. Let's see further. All right. We only have 60 more seconds. Okay. I'm just going to do another line or two, and then it'll have to be it. Okay. Now the Gemara says Tanan. Now this is going to be a kasha. This is from the Mishnah later on. Yivim to shemeta, if his yivama died, mutar ba'achotah. Tana Mishnah says if the yivama dies, if Rachel dies, so Shimon could marry Rachel's sister. The implication being ba'achota in b'imalo, that with the sister, he could marry the sister, but not the mother. In other words, this is far to say it this way. In other words, if I assume that there's some sort of Zika between the two of them, so she's like my wife. So if my wife dies, I can marry my wife's sister. It's only b'chaya. Let's roar l'galot erbata b'chaya. But I can't marry my wife's mother. I can't do that. So from this Mishnah, again, Rav Huna's in Amara, And Rav Hunan said there's ain't Zika. But from this Mishnah, that sounds like there is some Zika. It says, so the Gemara says, who didn't know if he'll be Ima? No. The Emma says, I could say Pshat Mishnah that you're allowed to even marry the mother. But I didn't count a ratio. But in the ratio of that Mishnah, it says, Ishto Shemeta Mutar Ba'achoto. The earlier part of the Mishnah says, if your wife dies, you can marry the wife's sister. Ba'achoto in Abba Imalo. So that in Achinami, I can marry her sister. I can't marry her mother. That would be my mother in law. The Habila Isturu Duraita. That would be Nisha Duraisa. So Tananami Seifa Mutar Ba'achoto. So in the Seifa, for consistency of language, that pattern, the Seifa is talking about a Yibam situation. So he says, and the person says, if your wife dies, you can marry the wife's sister. Then he says, if your Yavama dies, you can marry her sister. But in the case of Yavama, you could also marry the mother, but the sister, the wife not. Right. Okay. I think that's going to have to be it for tonight. Okay. So, all right. Let me just end the recording. I don't know.